so much.
Mama?
Brooke jerked her back to the present. She blinked away the past and sighed. I was kind of eyeballing that pan of cinnamon rolls, but we'll have to leave a little bit of stuff for Uncle Zed. Harper was busy mopping the floors when they got to the cafe. She looked up at them and then down at her clean floor.
The part right inside the door is dry. What do you need?
Thought we'd take some desserts home with us, Dana answered.
Take all you want. Ain't no use in keeping them.
Zed raised his voice from the kitchen.
Doctor said it was best for me to watch my sweets so I don't have to take pills or shots.
Leave the banana pudding for me, or at least part of it, and a piece of pecan pie,
Harper said and went back to mopping.
How long has it been since you three sisters were together?
Brooke asked. Harper stopped and leaned on the mop.
I was here at Easter last year, but only for the afternoon.
Brooke and I came for Mother's Day, Dana said. I remember that year well. It was the last time that we were all here together.
Let's see, you were about 15, right, Harper? Tawny was almost 12, and Brooke was 4. It was right after my divorce and just before Brooke and I moved to Houston.
And you go by Clancy now?
Tawny asked.
The only benefit of my divorce, Brooke and I got to be Clancy's again.
So have y'all changed much?
Brooke asked.
We all got older, Harper smiled.
Well, duh,
Brooke smarted off. Harper stopped and leaned on the mop.
She reminds me of Tawny at that age. She's got some of you in her, too, Dana said. I bet that makes you real happy.
Harper's tone held an edge of sarcasm.
Nope, it does not, because that means she's like our father, and God only knows I'd rather she be like my mother. Mama might be wild and crazy, but she didn't abandon me, Dana said.
There's more than one way to abandon a kid, Harper whispered.
You got that right. Come on, Brooke. Let's get to the house and finish putting things right, Dana said.
They were out of the cafe, each of them carrying a dessert, when Brooke asked her mother.
What did Aunt Harper mean by that?
Have no idea. You'll have to ask her, but don't expect an answer. I tried to get in touch, but...
She shrugged.
And Aunt Tawny?
I called her on the day she graduated from high school, but she was too busy to talk to me. So I figured that they knew where I was, and if they wanted to get in touch, it was on them, Dana told her.
They're both sad, Brooke said. They remind me of you when you told me that you'd been fired at the ranch. You never told me why, Mama. I thought that those folks liked you a lot.
It's a long story for a less stressful day. We're used to getting up early, but tomorrow we start crawling out at 5:30.
Brooke stopped in her tracks, dropped her chin to her chest dramatically and moaned.
Why would we do something stupid like that?
Store opens at 6 so the fishermen can get supplies for their day. And I called the school before we left the ranch. The school bus runs right by the store at 7:30 every morning, Dana said.
But why 5:30? That's 2 hours before the bus runs.
Dana stopped to hug Brooke.
So we can eat the fantastic breakfast that Uncle Zed makes every morning before everyone else arrives. You don't want to hurt his feelings, do you?
No. But I have one more question,
Brooke sighed.
Well, spit it out.
Is it too late to change my mind about moving to this place?
Brooke asked.
I'm afraid so, Dana told her.
Chapter 3 Harper awoke on Friday morning with a clear head, and although her eyes hurt from crying so much the day before, they weren't nearly as bloodshot. It was still dark at 5 o'clock that morning as she made her way from her cabin to the cafe. Stars twinkled in the sky, but the promise of a pretty day was carried in the sweet spring air. In her previous job, the bar didn't even close down until 2 in the morning. By the time she got things cleaned up and made her way to her tiny little apartment above the place, it was usually after 3. And she could still smell beer and whiskey that found its way up the back stairs. Then it took at least an hour to wind down before she could sleep. So I should be going to sleep about now, not waking up to the smell of roses and pure lake water. I could be happy here forever. If it weren't for my sisters.
Morning. Who are you talking to?
Zed said when Harper entered the cafe.
Have a cup of coffee and sit with me for a few minutes. We'll get the breakfast going at 5:30. Won't be nobody here this morning but you girls, so we won't have too much to do.
Good morning to you. So our day won't be rushed?
Not this morning, but it'll pick up this evening,
Zed answered. Why are we even open? Granny's only been gone 2 days.
Because that's what she made me promise. And the day she passed on, I was to call you girls, and the next day we were to be closed so y'all could get settled in. But on the day after that, we were to open shop for business as usual,
he answered. The coffee machine offered decaf, dark roast, and hot water. Packages of instant hot chocolate along with a few kinds of tea were in a basket on the table. She poured a cup of the dark roast and then ripped open two of the hot chocolate packets to add to it. A double shot of half and half, and she could pretend that it was a mocha latte.
We got a full house checking in sometime between 3 and supper time. That's 10 cabins full, so tomorrow morning will be a lot different than this one. Flora's coming about mid-morning to make sure all the cabins are up and ready. We shut them down a week ago when the doctor said it was Annie's last days. Ooh-wee. He threw up both hands. You can't imagine the fit she threw over that. Said that she could die without us losing money.
Harper sipped her coffee. That's Granny Annie. She believed that work never hurt anyone.
Yep.
Zed's head bobbed up and down.
We worked 7 days a week around here, but we got to do it together. So we sure enough didn't mind. Come 7 o'clock at night, we'd close up the cafe and watch some television.
He rolled his eyes toward the ceiling to hold back the tears.
I'm glad you girls are here. Don't know if I could handle it without y'all. I could hire help, but...
He hesitated.
Family needs to be with family in these times.
Even if it's a dysfunctional one? She asked.
Maybe more so.
He eased up out of his chair and carried his mug with him to the kitchen. Harper followed right behind him. He slid a pan of biscuits into the oven and then shook some flour over sausage that he'd already cooked in a deep cast-iron skillet.
You can whip up those eggs and I'll get some pancake batter ready. Dana has got to go to school and enroll Brooke this morning. I don't expect that they'll keep the child since they'll have to get all her records from the school she was in, but if they do, she'll need a good breakfast. What they serve in lunchrooms these days is a crying shame. Can't have nothing fried.
Zed fussed as he slowly added milk to the skillet. Who's going to mind the store while she's gone? Harper picked up a whisk and went to work on a bowl full of eggs.
Ain't nobody here until after 3, and the locals don't get up until mid-morning, so she can leave it for an hour or so. After today, it might be tough for her to get away through the daylight hours because she'll be real busy. Not only is fishing season in full swing, but the local folks that own summer places have started to move in. Business is pretty steady most days. It closes at 7 like the cafe, so her evenings are free. After breakfast, you can take my grocery list to the store. We usually do our shopping at Walmart in Tyler. I've got it ready, and I'll send the company credit card with you,
he said. You gonna trust me with that? Harper asked.
Sure I will. You buy something not on the list, it comes out of your paycheck, and I will cross-check the receipt with the list,
Zed answered. It was straight up 6 o'clock when Tawny arrived at the cafe. Covering a yawn, she sniffed the air and went straight for the table where Zed and Harper had spread out the breakfast. She loaded a plate and took it to a table, returned for a cup of coffee and headed back.
You don't eat our food without at least a good morning,
Zed told her.
Good morning, she grumbled. I've never been a morning person and I don't expect a change.
Might be surprised what changes will come about here on the lake. You get that computer stuff all ready to start work this afternoon,
he asked. I sure did, and went through the program to familiarize myself with it. I learned it in my freshman year of college. It's old, but pretty basic. If my work goes on after the workday closes, why do I have to be up at the crack of dawn?
You do your work in the morning when you are fresh and your mind is clear. The store and cafe receipts and the bank and stuff can always wait until the next morning, after we give them to you. You won't need to go to the bank tomorrow since we haven't been open here for a week. That will start next Saturday morning. And if you've a mind to be nice, then you can help either here or in the store when you ain't busy with the book stuff,
Zed said as he headed back into the kitchen. And if I'm not in the mood to be nice, Tawny asked.
Then you can sit on your porch and watch the grass grow. It's up to you, girl,
Zed answered. Grass has always fascinated me. I can't remember when I had food like this, she said between bites.
Body needs to start off the day with something that'll stick to the ribs,
he said seriously. Harper brought her plate of food to the table. I'm surprised you didn't die from being poor those few months.
Don't you start on me, Tawny growled.
Looks like we're the last ones to the party.
Dana and Brooke pushed inside the room. Brooke looked from Tawny to Harper and back again.
So, what are y'all fighting about now?
Whether or not being poor is a fatal disease, Harper answered. Tawny never had to live in a world where she needed a paycheck until this last little while.
Shh, Brooke nodded toward the kitchen. Don't talk about death. It'll make Uncle Zed sad all over again.
Best get to eating or these two won't leave nothing for you.
Zed emerged from the kitchen with another plate of crispy bacon. Dana quickly changed the subject.
That's the story of my life. Always coming in last.
That's not the way I see it. Seems to me like you were always the bossy firstborn who lorded it over us, Harper said. And you were the wild one, and Tawny whined a lot, and both of y'all were the precious little princesses who had a mama and daddy both. Dana shot back.
You don't know that. You weren't even here when I was a teenager, Tawny said.
Brooke poured two glasses of orange juice and put them on the table.
I'll be bossy, wild, and whiny if y'all will homeschool me. I've attended the same private school since pre-K. I'm nervous about all this.
Private school?
Harper cut her eyes around at Dana.
The kids on the ranch where I worked all went to the school. It was one of the perks of the job, Dana said.
Brooke fidgeted in her chair.
This is my first time to go to public school. Harper and I went to a private school, but we both always wanted to go to public school, Tawny said.
Why?
Brooke cut open a biscuit and slathered it with butter. A wicked grin spread across Harper's face.
We heard you could buy weed there better than in the private schools.
Harper Clancy!
Tawny raised her voice.
Hey, don't gripe at me. I was a pretty good kid, but if I remember right, Mama had to make a sizable donation to the school to get you out of trouble more than once. Come on, girl, fess up. Why do your hands look like they've been digging ditches?
Harper shot a look her way. Brooke jerked her head around to see what Tawny would say next.
I've been working, and I didn't get in trouble for weed. And you're setting a bad example for this child. And how did you know about that stuff? You never came home after you ran away from that boarding school where they sent you,
Tawny declared.
You and Mama weren't the only Clancys I talked to. Until Daddy passed away, he and I talked at least once a month. If I remember correctly, the school got two nice little donations toward scholarships to keep you from being suspended.
That was for skipping school to go shopping, Tawny explained to Brooke. Mama was angry because I ran up her credit, not because I skipped school. They were going to kick me out, but she still didn't want me to go to public school.
Why? Brooke asked. Because she thought only the scum of the earth went to public school, Harper answered for Tawny.
Brooke turned to face Dana.
Well, I'm not the scum of the earth. Sounds to me like y'all's mama was different than my Granny Lacey.
A little bit, Dana said, and then yelled toward the kitchen.
Great breakfast. I'd forgotten how good your pancakes are, Uncle Zed.
Tawny would have traded mothers with Dana in a heartbeat. When Lacey came to pick Dana up in the summers, she'd been sweet to Harper and Dana both, and Dana actually missed her mother while they were at the resort. Tawny could never remember having that kind of feeling. Mostly, she wished she never had to go home. Zed brought out another plate with six big pancakes on it, and then went on back to the kitchen.
It's Sandy's recipe. Secret is in beating the egg whites first and then folding them into the batter. Makes good, light pancakes. I've got to get the lunch special started. Word'll get out about us being open, and some of the folks around these parts always eat here on Friday.
Tawny hurried through the rest of her breakfast, cramming a biscuit full of scrambled eggs and bacon to take back to the cabin for a mid-morning snack. Watching grass grow might work up an appetite. A gentle morning breeze brushed against her cheeks as she walked back to the cabin. She zipped her jacket and sat down on the porch in one of the vintage metal lawn chairs. This one was red, like the one on Harper's porch. Seemed fitting. She and Harper shared parents and a bloodline, so that made them like two chairs cut from the same pattern. A cardinal lit on the railing around the tiny porch and cocked his head toward her. She sat perfectly still and listened as he and a squirrel in the willow tree between cabins number 7 and 8 argued with each other. Off in the distance, she heard a rooster performing his wake-up calls. A couple of frogs joined in the mix, and a pair of robins chirped as they hopped around the yard. The sun, a bright orange ball sitting on the horizon, sent enough light through the trees that she could make out a few new spring leaves. There were a few tiny little white caps on the lake, and by cocking her head to one side, she could hear the distant drone of voices, most likely fishermen already out there in the coves trying to catch their dinner. The cardinal grew bored with her and flew away, leaving one red feather fluttering from the railing to the porch. She picked it up, went inside the cabin, and removed her jacket. When Zed had said that strangers would be coming into her personal space, it had freaked her out. So she'd arranged the desk, file cabinets, and everything to do with the business under the window looking out over the porch. Then, she'd taken one of the twin beds and carried one piece at a time to the storage room behind the laundry house. That's where she found the bookcases, and had asked Zed to borrow his old truck to take them to her cabin. She'd pushed her bed under the window looking out over the backyard and wooded area, leaving only enough room for a nightstand on either side, and then built a wall of 4 bookcases to divide the room. On the backside was her personal space. Just inside the door was her office. She carefully laid the red feather on a top shelf. She circled around the makeshift wall. Bed made tight enough to pass Retha Harper Clancy's inspection. 1,000% tougher than anything the military required. Her mother had never cleaned a house in her life, but by damn, she expected perfection in her hired help as well as her daughter's. It was no secret that Retha hadn't wanted children. She'd made that clear, often and loudly, especially when Tawny or her sisters weren't being perfect little angels. It had gotten worse after they'd sent Harper off to boarding school. Whatever it was, it must have been horrible, because they hadn't sent Tawny away when she was 16 and got caught with a flask of tequila in her locker at school. All schools, private or public, smelled the same, and for the most part looked alike. The Frankston school had changed very little since the last time Dana was in it. She'd hated leaving her friends, but at the end of her 8th grade year, her mother, Lacey, had married the first stepfather, and they'd moved to Austin, where Dana had finished high school. Now Lacey was married to Richard, stepfather number 3, and that marriage was on shaky ground.
"Is that really Dana Clancy?"
a deep voice behind her asked. She glanced over her shoulder and stopped in her tracks.
"Well, hello, Marcus. What are you doing here?"
"Teaching history."
His smile showed perfectly straight teeth.
"You're kidding me,"
she gasped. Brooke raised an eyebrow.
"Mama?"
"This is an old classmate of mine back when I went to school here. Marcus, meet my daughter, Brooke. And Brooke, this is Marcus Green."
No way was she going to tell her daughter that her history teacher had been one of the biggest pot smokers in junior high school.
"Pleasure to meet you."
Marcus nodded toward Brooke.
"So you're married?"
"Was," Dana answered.
"Many years ago. Right now we've got to get to the office and get her enrolled."
Marcus fell in beside her as she started down the hallway.
"Moving back to the lake, are you? I was sorry to hear about Annie."
"Thank you. It came as a shock to all of us, but we are all settling in."
"That mean those other 2 sisters are coming back too?"
Marcus asked.
"They're here, but it's not a matter of coming back. They were only summer visitors. They never did actually live here. They were big city girls out of Dallas, remember?"
"I do remember that about them. And they had kind of strange names."
Marcus stopped by a door.
"Here it is. Some things never change."
"Thank goodness for that," Dana said.
"Good to see you again, Marcus."
"You too."
Marcus waved over his shoulder. He wasn't much taller than Dana, and she was considered medium height at 5'6", but he carried himself differently now. When they were kids, he'd reminded her of a miniature rock star with all his kinky dark brown hair down to his shoulders. Now it was cut close,
No one would ever believe that those blue eyes could have ever been glazed over from smoking too much weed during lunch. It took all of 15 minutes to enroll, Brooke, and the principal, Mrs. Johnson, wanted her to stay.
I see you brought your backpack. I'll get Flora's granddaughter to show you around. She's enrolled in most of the same classes that you are.
Okay, Brooke said slowly, dragging out the syllables.
You don't have to stay today if you aren't comfortable with it, Dana said.
Brooke shrugged. Beats mopping floors and cleaning rooms. Mrs. Johnson leaned into a microphone and said,
Cassidy Jones, please come to the office.
Before she even got the last word out, a slightly overweight girl with a jet-black ponytail, a round face, and pink glasses poked her head in the door.
Yes, ma'am?
This is Brooke Clancy, a new eighth grader. Y'all have the same schedule.
Cassidy nodded.
Then we've got English first hour and about 5 minutes to get there, so come on.
Hello, Cassidy. I've known your grandma all my life. I'm Brooke's mother, Dana said.
Pleased to meet you, Cassidy smiled. We'd better get going. The bell is going to ring any time now.
Brooke picked up her backpack, laid a hand on Dana's shoulder, and then followed the girl out of the office and into a hallway of chattering kids. Dana hadn't planned to leave her at school, and worry gripped her heart even worse than on Brooke's first day of kindergarten.
It's okay, Mrs. Johnson said.
Cassidy is a fine student. She'll take good care of her today, and by Monday your daughter will be part of everything.
I hope so. Thank you. We're out at Annie's place. I did write down the phone number there, didn't I?
You did. We all know it by heart anyway from making reservations for Sunday dinner. Sorry to hear about Annie. She was always a big supporter of our school. I'm sure Brooke will be fine. Besides, you brought all the paperwork, so you made my job easy. Will you pick her up, or shall I make sure she's on the right bus?
Mrs. Johnson put on her glasses and glanced down at the form in front of her.
Are you going to run the place? I'd sure hate to see it close. How's Zed doing? He and Annie have been friends for so long and worked together for what? 50 years?
About that long.
Uncle Zed is sad, but so are all of us. It came as a shock to us, and she didn't want him to tell us that she was sick. We sure hope he's not thinking of retiring any time soon.
Uncle Zed? Mrs. Johnson asked.
But Zed is black. Is he?
She stammered.
No, that's what we've always called him at home, Dana answered. He's been more like a grandfather than an uncle, but... She shrugged.
Mrs. Johnson straightened all the papers and put them to one side.
Cassidy rides the bus to the cabin some of the time, so that will make things easy. I'll just tell her to be sure that Brooke is on the bus with her.
Thanks again.
Dana started toward the door. As the phone rang, Mrs. Johnson picked it up and waved Dana out with her other hand. Her thoughts were all over the place in the quietness of the truck as she drove back up the highway. Surely there wouldn't be a drug problem in the school. Marcus and a very small group of kids were the only ones who got into that scene when she was there. But with him being a teacher, had she talked to Brooke enough about the dangers? She made a mental note to do that over the weekend, and to warn her about what could happen if she were to take drugs and drink liquor at the same time. She didn't remember driving home or even across the bridge, but there was the turn, and she had missed it. She drove all the way to the bar up on the hill, turned around in the parking lot, and drove slower on the way back. The cabins and store were both visible when she made the right-hand turn. She parked her truck in front of the house and walked back to the store. She wished that she had seriously considered homeschooling Brooke, so she wouldn't have to worry about all the outside influences. But then, teaching her in front of her two aunts would probably be even worse than what she'd get in public school. Life was not going to be a bed of roses. Or maybe it is, she said, as she opened the door and flipped on the lights. Roses have thorns, and believe me, Tawny and Harper have always been thorns in my side.
And you are one in theirs, Granny's voice popped into her head.
Probably, she nodded. She fished her phone out of her purse and hit the speed dial button for her mother, but nothing connected.
Damn it, she fumed as she picked up the corded phone and punched in the phone number. Lacey answered on the third ring, panting as if she was out of breath.
Are you there? Did they really cremate Annie? She asked. Why are you calling from the store?
I am, and they did. And remember, there is no service in this spot, and no Wi-Fi either. Brooke is having a fit.
Poor baby,
Lacey huffed. Did I call at a bad time?
No, darling. I just walked in the door from a 2-mile run. I'm not getting any younger, and besides, running helps the stress.
I'm filing for divorce today. Your stepfather has cheated on me his last time, Lacey said.
Are the two princesses there?
Yep, they are. I'm going to manage the store. Harper is helping Uncle Zed in the kitchen, and Tawny has an office set up in her cabin to take care of the business for the place, Dana said.
You are joking, right? I can't picture Tawny doing anything but sitting on the porch with a glass of sweet tea and looking pretty. And Harper cooking and cleaning up after people? I can't even drag up a faint vision of that,
Lacey giggled. That's not why I called. I'm worried about leaving Brooke at school. It's worse than when I had to walk away from her in kindergarten.
That's just your mother instinct. Change never hurts any of us. I'll come see y'all sometime this summer, and I expect by then you'll be settled in and loving it. You always did like spending time with Annie.
I loved her so much, Dana's voice broke.
And she loved you, thank God. If it hadn't been for Annie and Zed and their help, we'd have never made it. Your father sure never gave us any support. Went off to college and we never saw him again.
Lacey's voice always got that bitter edge when she mentioned Gavin Clancy. It was as if she had had no part in her pregnancy.
So you think I'm only worrying, Mama?
Dana deliberately veered away from a conversation about her father.
Of course I do. I've got to get a quick shower and put on a decent outfit. My lawyer and I are meeting at 10. He's a widower.
Very well-to-do, Lacey said.
So you've got number 4 already picked out? Who was cheating on who?
Dana asked.
It's not who's cheating, but who gets caught. Why shouldn't I look at the playing field? And if you'd gotten caught?
Dana asked.
Then I'd still be looking at the playing field, but with no big fat settlement, she laughed. Gotta run, darling. Talk to you later. If you don't like it up there, you can always move in with me. I'm going to get the house for sure.
Thanks, Mama. Talk to you later, Dana said and hung up the phone. Living with her two sisters might be tough, but she'd make it work. No way in hell would she ever live with her mother. Zed sat down in his recliner that evening and sighed. He glanced over at the other chair and smiled.
Annie, you left me a handful with them girls. Every one of them is fighting a demon. I'm trying to be patient with them and learn what keeps them from opening up to each other and being a family. But sometimes I just want to shake some sense into them.
He sipped at a glass of wine for a few minutes and then frowned.
Okay, I hear you. It's took a long time for them to get this way, and it will take a while for them to learn to love and trust one another. But you know, Annie, that I ain't got forever. I'm lonesome without you, and I've been ready to leave this old world for a long time now. You could have waited for me, and we could have checked out together.
Another sip of wine.
I understand it wasn't none of your doings. You wanted us to be like that couple in the notebook and die together holding hands. I shouldn't bitch and moan, should I? At least you knew who I was right up to your last breath, and weren't like that woman in the movie. I should be grateful for that.
He finished off the wine and set the glass to the side.
Okay, it's bedtime now. So good night, my sweet Annie. I miss you even more than I thought was possible.
He blew a kiss toward the wooden box where her ashes were kept.
Keep a candle in the window, so I can find my way to you when the good Lord sees fit to turn me loose.
Chapter 4 Tawny would never have believed that a place so far removed from civilization would bring in enough revenue to pay Flora's and Zed's salaries, much less 3 more and part-time wages for Brooke. But when all the rest of the cabins but one were filled up by 4 o'clock that afternoon, and she tallied up how much they'd make in only a few days, she realized what a moneymaker the place really was.
She was busy checking the schedule for Flora's room cleaning hours when she noticed that unit number 6 beside her would be filled late that evening by a Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Smith, a young honeymooning couple who'd only be there Friday and Saturday nights. "Honeymoon in here?" she frowned. "Are they crazy?"
"I hope I'm not crazy, but the jury is still out."
A guy who looked vaguely familiar stepped inside the cabin. Something tickled the outer edges of her memories. She'd swear on a stack of Bibles that she'd heard his voice before. She frowned as she checked the books for a name. Wyatt Simpson. The name rang a bell, but she couldn't place him. Then it clicked. He'd been at the lake resort that last summer that the sisters were all there together. He and Harper went to the lake every evening, and Tawny had seen them kissing. The image faded and was replaced by Harper sneaking through the back door at almost daybreak one morning. Was it Wyatt she'd sneaked out of the house to see that night?
"What?" she frowned.
"Didn't you ask if I was crazy?"
he smiled. "Sorry, I was wool gathering, and I wasn't talking to you. I was thinking out loud about a couple who are planning to honeymoon here. I said, are they crazy? Not, are you?" she answered.
"Then no, they are not crazy. I can't think of a better place to honeymoon than right here on the lake. It's downright romantic. I'm Wyatt Simpson, and you've put me in number 2 with a set of twin beds. I should be in number 3 with a queen-size bed."
"I have you down for 3 rooms, but you didn't specify which ones you wanted on the reservations."
"Didn't have to when Annie was here. She knew what cabin I liked."
"Well, until I get to know the customers, it would be nice if you'd tell me when you make the reservations." He nodded.
"I'm a fishing guide. I have 4 guys who will be here in half an hour. They'll need the 2 cabins that have twin beds," he explained. "I can pick up the keys for them now, and I'll put my things in the cabin with the bigger bed."
"Sure thing," Tawny said, as she adjusted the room numbers on the computer and handed him the keys from the rack inside the door.
"You been here recently?"
"Lots of times. Came for years with my grandfather, who was a fishing guide. When he died, I took over the business. You'd be one of Annie's granddaughters, right?"
"Yes, sir. I'm the youngest, Tawny."
"I'm sorry to hear about her passing, but I'm real glad that you are keeping the place open."
"Thank you. Anything else?"
What did Harper see in him anyway? Maybe it was because he was the only boy around that summer. Light brown hair, hazel eyes, tall and sinewy, with muscular arms but nothing outstanding about him. At least, not in Tawny's eyes.
"Are you the only granddaughter that came back to this place?"
Wyatt asked.
"No."
She shook her head.
"My sisters Harper and Dana are here also."
Wyatt lingered at the open door.
"Harper was 15 and Dana had a little girl with her, maybe about 3 or 4 years old. My grandpa thought she was the cutest thing he'd ever seen."
Tawny looked up into his eyes.
"That's right. That little girl is 14 now."
"Wow. Time does fly, doesn't it? I was only 16 that year, and it was my last visit here for a long time. But after college, I decided that sitting behind a desk wasn't for me, so I picked up where my grandpa left off,"
Wyatt said.
"I should be going. Nice visiting with you."
"See you at supper?" she asked.
"Wouldn't miss one of Zed's burgers for anything. Just sorry I missed the blue plate special at noon."
Wyatt shut the door behind himself. She left the cabin and headed for the store. If she approached it right and didn't make Dana angry, she might find out what her older sister remembered from that summer. The store was hopping busy with fishermen wanting bait and young kids whining for ice cream bars while their parents bought picnic supplies, so she grabbed a bag of pork rinds and a root beer and held them up. Dana nodded and Tawny left without getting any answers. Her mouth was full of pork rinds when the phone rang.
"Lakeside Resort," she answered.
She'd always heard the resort referred to as Annie's place, so the official name sounded strange in her ears.
"You are talking with food in your mouth. I can hear it," her mother said bluntly.
"Sorry about that. Not bad manners, just good pork rinds."
"Good God almighty," Retha gasped. "I hated for you girls to go to that place in the summer.
Pork rinds are amazing, especially the barbecued ones. You should try them,"
Tawny giggled.
"I can't believe you are actually living in that backwoods place."
Retha's voice turned icy cold.
What does it matter where I go? You disowned me, remember?
The sharp edge in Tawny's tone could have shredded steel.
It was to teach you a lesson. I know what's best for you, Rita said.
I suppose you're going to tell me that's why you tied up my and Harper's inheritance from Daddy, to show us what is best for us.
I blame it all on that damned lake. Annie didn't watch over you like she should have.
Whoa, wait a minute, Mother. I know how to hang up a telephone, and a corded one makes such a lovely loud bang. I won't have you talking trash about Granny.
She broke up our family, Rita countered.
I'd say you broke it up when you sent Harper to boarding school. Why'd you do that? Daddy was never the same afterward. She was only 15. What did she do to get exiled? Tawny asked.
She left on her 16th birthday. That's tough love. You can have your inheritance when you are 40 or when I see that you are finally acting responsibly. God knows that damn resort is breeding ground for trouble, Rita snapped.
Trouble finds me wherever I go, Mother. There's about 10 cabins here with mighty fine-looking men in every one, and I'm not any farther than a city block from a convenience store that sells all kinds of beer. Bet if I went down to the high school, I could even score some weed. Tawny knew she was baiting her mother, but she couldn't make herself stop.
I can't believe my kin would turn out the way you and Harper have. I would have expected it of your father's bastard daughter. But you two have the best that money could buy,
Rita sighed.
Dana probably turned out to be the best one of us. She's got her head on straight, and she's a really good mom to Brooke, so don't badmouth her.
Tawny couldn't believe that she was taking up for her older sister.
You just proved that you aren't worthy to get your inheritance yet,
Rita said, and the line went dead.
Love you too, Mama.
Tawny slammed the receiver back on the base and muttered,
if you had any idea what this place is worth, you'd be beating a path up here to try to get your grubby little hands on part of it.
A bunch of guys wearing caps with fishing hooks and all kinds of pins attached to the bills arrived in the cafe just as Harper made the rounds to refill drinks. She set two pitchers on the drink counter and headed over to the only empty table in the cafe.
Looks like all y'all are wearing your lucky hats today.
Yep. Every one of us is slightly superstitious. I'll have sweet tea in a double meat, double cheeseburger basket,
the one closest to her said. And the rest of you? She asked without really looking at any of them.
Same as old Donnie,
another one said.
Me too,
two more chimed in.
Well, that makes it easy enough. And you?
She asked the guy who'd pulled up a fifth chair from a two-top.
You got any of the cobbler left over from dinner?
He asked. A jolt of something akin to electricity shooting through her body glued her to the floor. She'd never forgotten that deep voice, or the way that her hormones whined when he was within 20 feet of her.
We've got about 8 servings, last I checked, she answered.
Save it all for us. If we don't eat it now, we'll take it to go. And hello, Harper,
Wyatt said.
Wyatt?
Her voice was at least 2 octaves higher than normal, and her hands trembled.
What brings you back here?
He's our fishing guide. We've been coming here the past 3 years during this week. So you know this old ragtag fisherman?
The oldest guy in the group asked.
Used to, but a lot of water has run under the bridge since we were 16.
She fought against the desire to leave the cafe, get into her truck, and not even look in the rear view mirror. She could be packed up and out of there in exactly 30 minutes. When she'd gone to Tyler for supplies, she'd had both her tires fixed, so she was ready to go. But that wouldn't be fair to Uncle Zed or to her granny's memory. She took the order all the way to the kitchen instead of pinning it up over the serving window. She only needed a few seconds to still her racing pulse and calm her thumping heart.
Damn it. She thought she'd gotten over him for good.
Zed looked up from the grill and pointed to a bar stool by his prep table.
Sit. You look like you just saw a ghost. What's happened? Did Annie appear to you?
She hiked a hip on the stool by the work island and leaned her elbows on it.
No.
Has she appeared to you?
Not yet,
he sighed.
I keep hoping, but it hasn't happened yet. My mama said that when her grandmother died,
She saw her standing at the end of her bed one night, and then she was gone. She always thought that her granny was telling her that she was happy and not to worry. So, what's happened out there that you just about fainted?
I saw someone, but it wasn't a ghost. He was very real, though I wasn't expecting to see him ever again, she answered. Zed peeked out the window and waved.
Would that someone be White?
He rubbed his chin.
He's here a lot. He missed a few years after his granddad passed. He finished school and went to college. Got him one of them fancy degrees in some highfalutin thing, but decided that he didn't like living in the big city. He come back to Lindale and started his grandpa's old business. Lot like you're doing.
And he's here every year? Harper asked.
Yep. About every week during the spring and summer.
He lined up several meat patties on the grill.
We make our money off return customers and word of mouth. And he always said that was better than placing an ad in the newspaper. Why'd you ask about Wyatt?
He's out there with his fishing crew and I recognized him. His grandpa used to bring him, Harper said.
And one summer you had yourself a crush on that boy,
he grinned. That was a long time ago.
Way you looked, it didn't look like it was long enough for you to forget him.
You know what they say about first loves, especially when you are really young, she said.
I believe that with all my heart,
he said. I just wasn't expecting to see him. I should get back out there and make sure everyone has what they need. He patted her on the shoulder.
You're making a fine waitress. I'm proud of you, girl.
As she moved around the tables of mostly fishermen, she caught snatches of conversation about catfish the size of Moby Dick and catching so many bass that they almost sank a boat hauling them to shore. She was almost to Wyatt's table when the bell rang in the kitchen, and she hurried back to get their dinner baskets. Setting them before each of the five men, she was very careful not to brush a hand across Wyatt's arm, or to even make eye contact. Being next to him gave her hot flashes that no little white pill in the world could cure.
Zed could put in a burger shop anywhere in the world and people would flock to it. He should write a recipe book. Bet he could make $1 million on it,
Wyatt said. Probably so, but I don't think he'll share his secrets with anyone, Harper said. Anything else I can get you guys? Working at the cafe was more pleasant than working at bars, but any time someone mentioned Annie, it put a lump in her throat the size of a grapefruit.
You ever been told that you look a lot like Dina Carter, that country singer?
The older one in the group asked. Nope, and flattery won't get you anywhere with me, she blushed.
She's younger than Dina. I'd say she looks more like Carrie Underwood.
That won't even get you an extra dessert, she half-heartedly teased as she refilled their tea glasses and then made her way to the other side of the room to clean up a table that had been vacated. She shoved several dollar bills into her pocket. With little left to spend money on now that her truck was fixed, the tips were starting to add up. She was very aware of when Wyatt and his fishermen left, but the rest of the evening swam with random visions that kept playing through her mind. Time she'd had with her grandmother, her sisters, and even Brooke as a baby. But most of all, flashes of Wyatt. When Zed locked the door at 7 o'clock on the dot and handed her a broom, she was humming an old Dina Carter tune, Strawberry Wine. She and Wyatt had never actually drunk wine in those days, but the lyrics sure did describe the summer.
I'll get the kitchen cleaned up. You can be in charge of the dining area. I figure it'll take about half an hour and then we can go home. What's that song you are humming?
Zed asked. She told him the title.
That kind of country music tells a story. Some of this new stuff is just repetitive crap. Let's get this last job of the day done and we can go home,
he said. We are home. She went back to humming.
Glad that you see it that way. I like to see you so happy.
One shoulder raised and half a shrug. Look, you know I could find a job. Never been without one more than a week since I was a teenager. But this was like it fell out of heaven.
Going a lot out of here when you make enough money.
He stopped and turned around. She began to sweep the floor. Never know what tomorrow might bring.
Ain't that the truth?
He said with a smile.
After cleanup was finished, Harper went back to her cabin, but she couldn't sit still. She flipped back and forth between the two channels on the television, but neither one kept her attention. Memories. A whole summer of them kept rising up in her mind. It was that magical time when she and Wyatt discovered sex together, when in their youthful ignorance, they'd been too careless and she'd gotten pregnant. The guilt she'd felt ever since giving that precious baby girl up for adoption had never left her. Like always, she felt the need to drink or to run, but she was determined to do neither that evening. Zed needed her, and she had to finally face her past or she'd never move on to a future. She needed something, anything, to escape from the smothering pictures flashing through her head. She dug around in her box of books until she came up with one that she'd read a dozen times and still loved, but not even her favorite author, Katie Lane, could keep her attention. Finally, she pulled on a jacket and went out to sit in the old metal lawn chair on the corner of her tiny porch. The stars shone bright, circling around a half moon in a black velvet sky. On many hot summer nights in that same cabin, she'd had some wild and crazy good times in cabin number 12 with Wyatt Simpson, most of them after they'd shared a six-pack of beer. Suddenly, the little short hairs on her neck prickled and her pulse jacked up a few beats a minute, letting her know that Wyatt was really close by. Then he stepped out of the shadows and into the moonlight. She drew her long legs up and wrapped her arms around them.
"Hey,"
he said.
"I was out for an evening walk down that old trail behind the cabins. So are you living in this unit? I remember."
She held up a palm. "That was a long time ago."
10 years, if I remember right. We were a couple of crazy teenagers, weren't we?"
"Oh, yes," she nodded. He didn't have any idea of just how crazy and irresponsible they had been that summer.
"Are you just here for a few weeks or for a long time?"
"I don't really know. I basically live a day at a time," she answered. He nodded.
"I understand that. Mind if I sit down?"
he asked. She shrugged. "Lots of porch steps. Help yourself to whichever one looks most comfortable." He sat on the top step and stretched his legs out over the steps to the ground.
"I never forgot that summer. How about you?"
"Of course not," she answered. That summer had set the course for her life the past decade and given her the means for a guilt trip that she went on every spring.
"Two crazy teenagers finding each other beer and sex. You married?"
he asked. "No. You?" He shook his head.
"Not yet."
"Engaged?" Harper asked.
"Was at one time. She didn't like the idea of me being a fishing guide."
She didn't realize she was holding her breath until he answered. Not that it made a bit of difference. They were totally different people now. "What'd she want you to do?"
"I've got a degree in commercial business and worked for a mortgage company a year before I figured out I wasn't cut out to wear three-piece suits."
He grinned.
"How about you?"
"Been job hopping. Just making a living. Last one was working in a bar and living in an apartment over the place," she answered.
"You're kidding me."
"Nope. Didn't finish high school, but I did get my GED. Haven't spent a single day at college." He stood up.
"I figured you'd own an oil well or two by now, or maybe you'd be a model for some fancy clothing place."
"Disappointed?" she asked.
"Not in the least. We all have to find our way. As my favorite aunt used to say, it doesn't matter what you do, long as you're happy."
"Sounds like a smart woman. It's getting chilly," she shivered. "I'm going inside."
"I'd go get a six-pack of beer from my cabin if you'll invite me over,"
he grinned. She shook her head and stood up. "Not tonight. We aren't those crazy kids anymore."
"I wish we were. That summer was the best time of my life. Maybe another time. See you at breakfast?"
"That's my job long as I'm here," she said. Like a famous author once wrote, that summer had been the best of times and the worst of times for Harper. What should have been a sweet awakening had turned into a bitter nightmare. She went inside and fell forward on the bed, burying her face in the pillow. Then she rolled over and shook her fist at the window.
"Why, God, Why would you put me in this cabin and send Wyatt Simpson to the lake the first week I'm here?
Face your demons and get on with life. The voice in her head said clearly. Was God speaking to her? If he was, then he didn't know just how big her demons were.
This is finally feeling like home,
Brooke said between bites of her favorite supper, spaghetti, salad, hot rolls, and chocolate pie for dessert.
Tell me about your first day at school,
Dana said.
It was okay. I like Cassidy a lot. We're already friends. And there's this one boy.
Brooke laid her hand on her heart and fluttered her thick lashes.
He wears cowboy boots and tight-fitting jeans, and he's so dreamy. It's different in public school. No uniforms. Everyone don't look just alike.
Dana's heart fell into her pink fuzzy slippers. She wasn't ready for Brooke to like boys or want to start dating.
But he's got a girlfriend, and he's a senior, so he'd never even look at me,
Brooke sighed.
But when I do get a boyfriend, he's going to look like that and make my heart go all mushy inside. Hey, you know what?
She removed her hand and changed the subject.
We should have invited Aunt Harper and Aunt Tawny. They're probably lonely.
They've got jobs to do just like us. Tomorrow and Sunday you'll help Flora in the laundry,
Dana said. No way would she invite those two to supper. Granny had been wise in dividing their jobs. If she'd had to spend 13 hours a day in the same room with either Harper or Tawny, she'd be ready for a straitjacket. Or worse, she might land in jail. Brooke groaned.
I'd rather clean horse stalls.
You see any horse stalls around here?
Her daughter shook her head.
When we get done tomorrow evening and the store is closed, can we go down to the lake? Maybe even take a sandwich or get Uncle Zed to make us up some cheeseburgers?
Either Friday or Saturday night used to be movie and popcorn night. Why not just keep up the way we do things, Brooke?
Maybe, just maybe, if she kept the traditions alive and going, she could delay Brooke's inevitable interest in boys.
Then Sunday when we get done with work?
She asked.
Maybe, if it's not raining,
Dana agreed.
You know what I liked best about coming to Granny Annie's?
Brooke asked and continued before Dana could answer.
I liked sitting on the porch swing with her. When we finish supper, can we just go out there and swing? That way we can talk about her and I can tell her goodbye.
Yes, we can sure enough do that,
Dana said around the lump in her throat.
We can even take our dessert out there if you want.
Granny would like that,
Brooke said. A dark cloud shifted over the moon, blocking half the light as they sat in the swing and listened to the squeak of the chains as they ate chocolate pie and shared an orange soda pop straight from the bottle.
This taste reminds me of the chocolate orange candy we got Granny Annie at Christmas,
Brooke said. Dana bought those little foil-wrapped oranges for Granny Annie every year. She'd loved the combination of the two tastes, and had always looked forward to getting one in her stocking.
And I didn't even know last Christmas would be the final time I'd ever see her. If I had, I'd have brought her a dozen of those chocolate oranges,
Dana thought. Brooke pointed toward the sky.
Look at those stars. Do you think there's really holes in the floor of heaven like that country song says? Can Granny peek down and see us?
I don't know, Dana said. But if there is, I bet she's real happy that we are taking care of things.
Especially Uncle Zed, Brooke said. She'll miss him more than anyone else. Does he look even skinnier to you than the last time we saw him?
He does look like he's lost weight. But then he's taken on his and Granny's jobs for several weeks now. Maybe he'll gain a little now that we're all here to help take care of things. What makes you think that she'll miss him more than any of us?
They were best friends their whole lives. Granny told me that the last time we saw her. She said that her and Grandpa Seamus and Uncle Zed grew up right here before the lake was made, when it was just farm country, and they'd always been friends. If I had a friend like that, I'd sure miss her.
Brooke finished off her pie and licked the last of the chocolate from the plate.
Brooke Clancy, that's bad manners,
Dana fussed.
It made Granny laugh when I did it, and I'm telling her goodbye, so it's okay.
Dana couldn't contain the smile.
So, you think Cassidy will ever be a friend like Granny and Uncle Zed were?
Maybe, if we stay here forever. We'll have to see how things go. Brooke shivered. It's getting cold. We'd better go inside.
A burst of warm air greeted them as they entered the house, along with a phone ringing in the kitchen. The old yellow wall-hung telephone was right inside the back door, and Dana made a beeline for it. Dana caught it on the fourth ring and breathlessly said, "Hello?"
"I think you're supposed to say Lakeside Resort, or at least Annie's place," Tawny said.
"Maybe I'll just say beer, bait, and bologna. Drink it, catch it, or eat it. We don't give a damn long as you pay your bill."
Dana shot back.
"What do you want?" "Would it be all right if I came to the house and sat on the swing for a little bit? Seems strange not to have Granny here, and I'd like to say goodbye to her," Tawny answered. "I won't disturb you."
"Fine by me,"
Dana said.
"Thank you."
Dana stood there with the phone in her hand, staring at it for a full 30 seconds before Brooke took it from her and hung it up.
"You okay, Mama?"
Tawny said, "Thank you."
I don't think I've ever heard her say those two words. At least not to me.
She thought about all the times that she'd sat on the swing or the porch with her much younger sisters. It had been a common ground for them. So maybe that's what Tawny was thinking about.
"Think y'all will ever get along?" Brooke asked.
"Probably not," Dana answered.
"But,"
Brooke started.
"Granny used to say, it is what it is. And I've come to accept that."
"You'd better go take your shower, young lady. It's getting late."
"Yes, ma'am. But I love Aunt Tawny and Aunt Harper so much. I wish..."
She hesitated.
"Me too, kiddo. Me too."
Dana gave her a quick hug. She was determined not to even look outside and to let Tawny find closure however she wanted. But then she heard voices and stepped out onto the porch to find Harper sitting on the top porch step and Tawny stretched out on the swing, taking up every bit of it and not even offering to share.
"I didn't know you both were coming over here," she said.
"I didn't know I had to ask if I could." Harper raised a small bottle of Jack Daniels.
"To Granny Annie. Rest in peace and in the knowledge that we'll keep this place running."
Tawny held up a can of beer.
"To Granny Annie. This was your favorite kind of beer. To the legacy you left for us."
Dana sat down on the step with Harper and took the whiskey bottle from her hand. She tipped it up and held a mouthful for a few seconds before she let it slide down her throat, warming her insides.
"To Granny Annie. Who never thought she'd see the three of us agree on anything. But we all do want you to know that we'll do our best to keep your place alive and well."
"Huh,"
Harper snorted.
"Never thought I'd see the day that you'd put your lips where mine have been."
"Whiskey kills germs," Dana said.
"We've made our vows. Reckon we can keep them?"
"Do my damnedest," Harper nodded.
"Long as it don't mean I have to get all sweet and lovey-dovey with y'all."
"Me too," Tawny said. "We need to put on a front for Uncle Zed. He's so sad and he doesn't need us bickering in front of him. If we've got a problem, we should hold our tongues until he's not around."
"I agree. He looks so frail these days. I'm worried about him, but I can't get him to let me do more in the cafe," Harper said.
"I'll try not to be bitchy if y'all will," Tawny said.
Dana set her mouth in a firm line and nodded in agreement. They both stared at Harper.
"Okay, okay. I'll give it my best shot, but don't expect miracles," she said.
"Then we're in agreement," Dana said.
"I think it might have been easier on him. Maybe brought about closure if we'd had a funeral for her."
"I wonder why she didn't want a funeral,"
Tawny frowned.
"Guess we'll find out when she's ready to tell us," Dana answered.
"Y'all want to come inside? That north wind is chilly." Now where in the devil did that come from? She didn't want them in the house, and she dang sure wasn't ready to be all lovey-dovey, as Harper had said.
"Not me. This is enough for tonight. I'm going back to my place," Harper said.
"Before you leave,"
Tawny set the empty can on the porch.
"Mother called me. I pissed her off, so I don't reckon we'll see our inheritance until she's dead."
"She mentioned me?"
Harper stood up and handed the whiskey bottle to Dana.
"There's one swallow left. You can have it."
"Thanks."
Dana finished off the last drop in the bottle and then set the empty on the porch.
Yes, but it was to fuss about us both being a big disappointment. Only time she ever mentions your name. Been that way since we were teenagers, and you went out to California to that boarding school. You never did come back home after that. Why?
She pissed me off. I don't give a rat.